I'm Julia Bancroft. I'm with the Tri-County Watershed Protection Association, and I live in Yarmouth.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, Julia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us when you first started to notice mink farms in your area, or what your first encounter with the mink farming industry was?
Well, we bought our property about 3 years ago, and suddenly there was a lot of stuff in the news about the mink farms and altercations down here in Yarmouth with demonstrations and that kind of thing. So that came to our personal attention at that time. The group itself was formed about 6 years ago, and of course it was the green blue algae that was forming on the lakes that brought everyone's attention to it. And there was application made to put a mink farm in on a beautiful pristine lake called Sloan's Lake, and that's what sort of got everything really going. They tried to stop that, and we found out that there is no method to stop a mink farm from going in, and a lot of other businesses as well, because the small communities do not have proper zoning in place to stop this. And if you do not have the proper zoning in place, the NDP government will allow them to go in pretty well anywhere and open up a mink farm. So this is before regulations, of course. There was no regulations whatsoever other than the Department of Environment. The Department of Environment was not responding to us. They would tell us to talk to the Department of Agriculture. So we were not able to get many inspections done or anything, and it was very, very unfruitful, very upsetting. I guess I'm very naive. I thought if you contacted the media, provincial government people, your local government, that someone would come to the rescue and stop all this because they're polluting fresh water. So the government came down and said they wanted to speak to stakeholders, which they did, but they didn't listen to us.
Mm-hmm. This is the Department of Agriculture now?
Yes, and the Department of Environment came down on one occasion as well. But they decided they were going to do regulations. So they asked for our input. We gave our input. There was a first draft, which was quite a good draft. We thought we could work with that and it would go somewhere, and maybe they were listening to us. But they came back with the second draft, which had absolutely no resemblance to the first draft. And then they went away, and it took another year to come out with these regulations that are so watered down. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but they seem so unenforceable to me and so vague in so many ways. And they have one person in charge of it, which is the administrator, who can decide to not enforce the rule anyway. Like, for instance, they said that you have 3 years to comply, except if this administrator decides that he will extend that for you. They said you could not do, you must freeze carcasses and dispose of them at a government-regulated facility. And then in the next sentence it says, or you can compost them on the land. Those are the big issues: are the carcasses, the manure, the runoff, and the amount of phosphorus that's being put into the lake, to the lakes and streams, and into the earth. And if people may not understand that blue-green algae is caused by phosphorus, too much phosphorus, and it's just pouring into the lakes and rivers, and that's why we have the blue-green algae.
And what sort of, I mean, when a lake is sort of has this blue-green algae, how does that change the lake?
Well, when you look at it, it's all green slime, and it stinks, and it's dangerous. It is a health it can impact your health. It's linked to liver disease and this sort of thing. And then, like, I'm not a scientist, so I really don't want to get into trying to describe the whole process. But as I understand it, when you see the algae floating on the top, most people wouldn't go in. So then it sinks to the bottom, and you think, well, the lake's cleared. But it hasn't. That's the most dangerous time, apparently. It's reforming in a different form, and that's when it becomes dangerous. Now, we've called the Department of Health to come down, and they say, oh, it's just blue-green algae. And they won't post it either. Tourists and stuff are going in the lakes where we know they shouldn't be going in, and nothing's posted. But in terms of us down here, the residents, our properties are so devalued. I mean, you know, I don't know the exact number, but for instance, if you had a nice, beautiful house sitting in front of a lake that was worth $250,000 when things were normal and everything was fine, how much would you, yourself, pay for that same property now when it's covered in green slime and your dog can't drink out of it?
Now, the Department of Environment did conduct some water tests. Is that right?
Yes, and they after we were carrying on.
Did they find?
They did 3 years in a row of consecutive water tests. And I'll just talk about the last test because they were all the same or getting worse. They concluded that the probable source of the pollution was the mink farms. But they were not asked to find the probable, like to hunt it down and find out what was causing this. They were just asked to do water tests. And these were very good tests. This is the best thing the government ever did for us. Mm-hmm. They got the university, a professor from, I think it was Arcadia, and I can't remember his name, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I don't have those papers in front of me. But an expert in the field to do these. We were very impressed. But they won't listen to the results of the tests. The tests say the phosphorus way too high. You know, it says all the things we want it to say, but they won't listen to the science of it even. They just went on. So when they decided to do, then they canceled the tests. There was none done last year, which I think is a mistake. I think we should be monitoring these lakes. There's 10 lakes and 75 kilometers of river. We're not talking about a little pond somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 10 lakes.
What are some of the lakes and river systems that are affected by this?
Well, the rivers themselves, you see, what's wrong here is all the farms are at the headwaters of the Matagan, Sisabu, and Tuskett rivers. That's why the pollution is so severe up there. That's mm-hmm. where it's generated. Then it washes down into all the rest. And that's what's so, and it's so intense, like the farming up there, the farms are all on top of each other. And I don't know if you have any idea how many mink there are in a farm. They can be, you know, just a few, but there's some that are 250,000 mink.
Wow.
All pooping, and it's not that they, you know, they stockpile, and there's nowhere really to dispose of this. Even with the new plant they want to do and all this stuff, they cannot manage this amount of manure, and that is why they're going to allow them to put it on the land. And that the people that I've talked to are supposed to be experts of this. Tell me that phosphorus doesn't matter if you burn it. You compost it. It's water soluble for one thing. If it rains and goes, it's all in your lakes, that it will not just disappear magically. So I'm not an expert on that topic, but that's what I've been told by two or three people now who are supposed to be experts in this area. The David Suzuki Foundation got on board with us and has been helping us. They have been fabulous. John Waring is their water expert. And he has been helping us with this, and he too is shocked at how little has really been done and how these regulations are not going to do anything. The only teeth in these regulations are in the mouth of the mink. There's nothing there.
Have you met with politicians, your MLA, for the area?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what were the results of that?
Well, our MLA here is not an NDPer, so I think that speaks for itself. You know, they don't have much of a voice. He has been, we've talked to Graham Kerr, conservative MP, and he, when we met privately with him, he told us how he, you know, he could appreciate our problems and all this sort of stuff, and patted us on the head and told us, you know, there's nothing much he could do. So what he did was go back to Ottawa and come back, I think, with something like a $50 million grant for the fur farmers. So we didn't consider that to be too helpful.
So the federal government is also supporting this industry?
Yeah.
Do you have any theories as to why both the Department of Agriculture for the province and the federal government are so gung-ho to support in growing a mink farming industry in Nova Scotia?
Well, I really don't know, because it seems to me that this industry, they're always quoting how many millions of dollars it's worth, and that's a good thing, and then they talk about jobs. And, you know, jobs are a good thing. But what kind of jobs are we talking about here? Like, in the Chronicle yesterday, I believe it was, they put that they get 1,000 jobs from 120 farms. That's not exactly a major job-producing industry. A lot of those jobs, because they're under the Department of Agriculture, they're allowed to pay a different rate. They don't have to pay minimum rates. They can pay, I think, almost anything they want, to be honest. I'm not certain about that. But they don't have to provide benefits. So I'm not just sure where the money, where all the money is. It certainly isn't into the pockets of the people who work for them. So I really don't know. Mm-hmm. All I can think of is I'm sure they don't pay tax on the land other than, a minimal tax, because they're classified as farmers. But again, we could go on about this forever. I don't know why they're called a farm. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, they're an industry, and they should have industry standards. Like, there should be bonding and things in place so that if there is a leak or a problem, or that there's some money to fix it. No one's talking about fixing our lakes and rivers up here. They're just, that's too bad. And the mink farmers deny they have anything to do with it. The government is not up here trying to correct our lakes. They're telling us, oh, it'll fix itself in time. Maybe not my lifetime. I don't know. I'm not enjoying the lake now. But the other big thing I feel is that there's so much secrecy about this industry. We cannot find out any information other than what the fur farmers put out in a press release. Like, I didn't know there was 125 farms until I read the Chronicle. I didn't know there was 1,000 employees till I read that. Illusion disease is a huge disease among mink. It's very, very contagious. I think I have the right to know that if the farm up the road from me or on these lakes and things are diseased. I think I have the right to know that. I have the right to know if there's 30,000 mink on that farm or 300,000 mink on that farm. Like, to me, this is just, should be public information. If I asked a dairy farmer, how many cattle do you have? He'd be so happy to tell me, I've got 150 in my herd or whatever, you know, like, they're proud of what they do. We cannot find any information without FOIPopping, and that's what they say to you. If you want to know something, FOIPop it. So then they take out all the important information. It costs you money. Why should it cost me money to know basic information, to know if the farms were ever inspected? Why do we have to fight for this information? We are not against the fur farmers. We're against pollution. You know, we do not want all that pollution in our lakes. I know this can be done right. Any kind of farming can be done right. It doesn't have to be the way it has been here for 50 years. And at that time, the farms were small. So they didn't make much of an impact. If somebody had 100 or 200 mink, all that, you know, waste and stuff didn't really make much of an impact because it was a drop, you know, in a lake. But when you're talking about a very, very condensed area, and that's where like something like 45 farms are, is at the headwaters.
So that's interesting. It's not necessarily that mink farming is new to Nova Scotia. It's that the scale of mink farming has never been this big.
It has tripled or something in the last few years. The Statistics Canada that I looked at for 2010 said there were 2 million mink here and foxes. There's very few foxes, but they throw them together, right? Farmed here. And in the last 2 years, there's been nothing but expansions everywhere, especially since it took 3 years to get the regulations out and everybody knew they were coming. So I think there was quite a rush on to get expanded and get open, you know, get these places open before they had to conform to a whole bunch of regulations. Mm-hmm. We have started this fight 6 years ago. These regulations that have come out give them 3 more years to get this stuff in place, but the administrator has the right to give them a further extension of 3 years. This is a decade that we have been waiting to get this stuff in line, and that pollution is still going in the lake and rivers. I think we've been more than patient. And I think these regulations are not enforceable, not effective, and have not been well thought out. From our perspective, I think the fur farmers should be thrilled. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they got lots of time and lots of money.
Has the Tri-County Watershed Protection Association met to discuss what your plan will be from here forward?
No, we're still probably, we're kind of in shock. Mm-hmm. We've written letters. We've been in touch with, like I said, the Suzuki Foundation and a couple of other environmental groups. Something else of interest, might be of interest, is that the Netherlands has banned fur farming now. So has parts of the United Kingdom. They're not allowed in England, parts of Ireland. I mean, people are closing this industry down because of animal rights, which we've not even touched on, mm-hmm. and the pollution. And here we are encouraging this industry. And I think what bothers a lot of people a lot is that the money, if you want to start up a fur farm, you can go to the agricultural for a farm loan. That's taxpayers' money. They support them in a big way. So most of these farms are financed by taxpayer money. And then they're polluting the lakes, and they're not cleaning them up. And I have this feeling it's going to be taxpayers' money who's going to have to clean them up, or it's not going to happen at all. Like, this is quite infuriating. And then I read in the Chronicle how, gee, some farmers are just might have to go out of business because they're not going to be able to comply. Well, you know, that's the price of doing business. Every business that I know, whether it's the banking business or whether it's a farm or any kind of business, there's rules, there's regulations. And you have to comply. And I'll tell you, a license to conduct business does not cost $500 for 2 years in any business that I know. And a $50 fine if you're late. My goodness, you try driving your car without a license and see what the police officer says to you.
Hmm.
You know, he's not going to say that's a $50 fine. Someone told me it was as much as $1,000. I don't know if it is. But I'm just saying, you know, like, there's no consequences here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can pull someone's license if they want to. They can. But it doesn't say the process. It doesn't say if you're in breach of this and for the second time it'll be taken away or whatever. There's no written down order of of consequences that I can see. But again, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a scientist, but I'm living in this. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can compost on your land, please don't think of a little compost pile like you have in your backyard. Think of tons and tons and tons of it, and you live next door.
Mm-hmm.
And that they, for instance, some of the setbacks that they've put on are very little. Like, I'm just referring to something here so that I am not telling you the wrong things. But from what I understand, just a minute here, they can have as close as 50 feet to a well, 50 meters rather, not feet. You can tell my age. I'm still using feet. I think it's 50 meters. Yeah, 50 meters, as close as 50 meters to a well, you can have uncovered liquid manure. Would you like that next to 50 meters from your well? They can have compost sites 50 meters from the property line, so right 50 meters from your house.
Hmm. And the compost site is for the carcasses.
Well, they throw compost. Right now, they put their manure, unused seed. They put any carcass, like something dies, they throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're taking them for pelting, that's different. They've got to deal with that at the pelting place. I don't know what on earth they do out there with all those bodies. Because you are talking about 1.5 to 2 million carcasses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one pelting facility, so I don't know quite what they do, and you're not allowed to go see. So I don't know. That's what I mean. There's a lot of secrecy. There's a lot of, maybe we have misinformation, but if you can't get the information, all you can do is go on what you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see these big, liquid manure things, they're huge. They're open to the elements. So when it rains, we had a big flood up here. I can't imagine what happened up there at the headwaters. I mean, that all came down here. And currently, not supposedly they're going to be making them do stuff with all this composting, but I don't see how they're going to do it. You can't have covered composting for the kind of manure they've got. Some of these farms only clean their compost out every 3 years. We're not talking about, weekly disposal.
Mm-hmm.
In most facilities. At least that's all. We did some FOI popping, and we found out that a lot of these farms only clear out their stuff every 2 or 3 years. And they're still allowed to have feces and urine drop through the cages onto the bare ground. When I say bare ground, they put sawdust down, but I mean there's no concrete or anything underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
So all that urine, which has all the phosphates in it as well, just seeps through into the ground, and up there at the headwaters, it's saturated with all this stuff. Some of our members, this was back like 5-6 years ago, went walking all the way up there because you're not allowed on the land, so you have to go by canoe and walk around in the back and stay off their land, and they found thousands of carcasses that have been skinned and thrown in the wetlands. And up till now, they have been told that they can use the wetlands to filter their waste and problems. Their waste and carcasses were all thrown in there, just rotting.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we have a website. If you go to Google and put in mink stink, it will take you to the site. And, it's not as organized as it probably should be, but let me tell you that all the information is there with pictures and aerial shots and science. All the science is there that we've had, the water tests. Everything is there for anybody who wants to see it. We even have a song called Nobody's Listening.